Begin the current Tab, Masechtas Menachos, Daf Samach Zayin. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of Rava, which it was discussing related to the halacha of our Mishnah. And that is, Rav Kahana had attempted to explain the halacha of Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, where we spoke about the leftover flour from the Sar and Ha'efa that was used from the three Sar, a flour for the Karban Ha'emer. So Tanna Kama says, so there's an obligation of Chala, but there's an exemption of Meiser, because Meiruach Hektish, the smoothing out of the pile which was done in possession of Hektish, is going to be exempt. But Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's going to be Chayva Meisus. So that Rav Kahana said, yeah, because Meruach Hektish does not exempt. But the Gemara disagreed and brought proofs that, no, Rabbi Akiva agrees, Meruach Hektish is going to exempt. But the halacha of Rabbi Akiva is based on the fact that the money was only given for the utility of the Sar and the Eifa, and not for the rest of the flour, and therefore is really never the possession of Hektish. But really, Meruach Hektish, says Rav, according to everyone, even according to Rabbi Akiva, would exempt. Then Rava continued. He says, and what's if, let's say it was Meruach, it had the smoothing, which is the conclusion of the production of the flour, which is when the obligation of Maisa starts, if it was in the possession of a non-Jew. So then he says, Machlekes Tanaim. On the one hand, you have Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it does not exempt, it has the same obligation as that of a Jew. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael and Rishimon hold that, no, actually, it's going to be exempt because Meruach Akim is going to be Pater. On that, Rava continues on top of our Amid, and says now regarding the laws of challah related to these discussions. There's different obligations by the grain. There's the obligation of trumas and maisers, which is by the meruch, the smoothing of the pile. That's the conclusion of that obligation. And then there's the halacha of challah, which is a kahana gifts, one of the 24 gifts given to the kahanim, from part of the dough which is made when one's baking bread. So on that says Rava, Gilgal Hektish Paiter. Just like we said in halacha regarding meruch Hektish will exempt. If the dough is needed, and it turns into a dough and it's in the possession of Hektish, and only, let's say, later on it was redeemed and it's being eaten by a regular person, it's going to exempt it from the obligation of having challah. They're not like, when the Mishnah Masechtas challah. The Mishnah says, Hekdesha isasta achle gilgalo. If, let's say, the dough was sanctified before it was kneaded into a dough, upada'asa, and is redeemed, so then chayev, it's going to be obligated in challah because it was never kneaded in the possession of Hektish. So when it was later, subsequently, after it was redeemed, kneaded into a dough by a commoner, it's then when the obligation of challah happens, and it's in the hand of a hedid. But so too, let's say, mishagilgala. Let's say it was actually sanctified only after it was already kneaded. And then, upadasa was redeemed. So then chayevis, the roast is going to be obligated in challah, because it was already kneaded into a dough when it was already still in the possession of a hedid. It was only later sanctified after it was already into a dough. But let's say Higdesha Achala Gilgala, let's say it was sanctified before it was kneaded into a dough. And then the Gilgala Hagiz, but then the treasury of Hektish went and kneaded it, so it is in the possession of Hektish at the time of Gilgal. The Akach Bidas, and only after that it was turned into a dough and Hektish was redeemed, then Patur is going to be exempt from the Alach of Chala, because Shabashas Chevasa, at the time of its obligation, which is at the time of Gilgal when it's kneaded into a dough, Haysa Patur was exempt because it was in the possession of Hektish. Now, but Bayi Rava, but Rava has a question over here in the parallel of the previous Gemara's discussion of Rava on the previous stuff, which we were making the different categories regarding the halachas of Maisra, where we spoke about that of Hektish and then that of Akum. So we said here too the parallel regarding Chala that Gilgal Hektish is going to be Pater. But Bayi Rava, Gilgal Evi Kachavimai, what's halacha if it's needed in a dough when it's in the possession of a non-Jew? As he explains this question, it says, Mishnitznan, we learned the Mishnah Masechtas Chala that says, Gershon is Gair. For non-Jew who converted, and he had a dough. Now, Nasa actually in this guy, if the dough was made before he converted to Judaism, Sapata, it's exempt from challah, because at the time when he was a non-Jew is when he kneaded into a dough, when the Gilgal happened. Which obviously you see that this Tana of the Mishnah holds, that a Gilgal Akam is going to be pot. Continues the Mishnah. Mishnah is Gair, but let's say if he only kneaded into a dough after he already converted to Judaism, so Chayv, then he was a Jew at the time that was turned into a dough, so it's Chayv Achallah. Let's say Suffolk, let's say it's a doubt if he had only made into dough after he converted, or if it was when he was still a non-Jew, doesn't remember when he kneaded into a dough. So in Chayiv, we go stringently in the halacha, the biblical law of challah, and it's going to be obligated in challah. Now, the one thing that Rav was asking was, that this that we see that the Tana of this Mishnah holds, that Gilgal Akam is also going to be Pater, Hamant Ketanila, but who is the Tana of this Mishnah? What's the question? Do we say Divri HaKolhi that this opinion is actually like everybody? Vafil Remeir Rabbi Yehuda Dekamachai V'Hasam. Even Remeir Rabbi Yehuda that we quoted in the previous daf, we brought in that Mishnah that we had quoted in the Brisa that said that regarding the smoothing of the Akum, is actually going to be chayiv in ma'isras. Patri hacha, over here regarding the gilgal of the isa, if it's biyada akum, they would agree that it's going to be exempt. Why? Because hasam, who over there, the reason why they said that meruach akum is not going to exempt one from ma'isra and one's still going to be obligated ma'isra, that's because tchsiv degancha yisera. It says a few times the word degancha in the laws of ma'isra. Actually, it says three times. One, it says in Devarim Yud Beis, Leisuch Alecha B'Sharecha Maisur Degantcha. It also says over there in Perek Yidal, V'chalt Lefnei, it says Maisur Degantcha. It says over there in Perek Yitches, Reishis Degantcha. What's the utility of those three times? So one teaches, Degantcha is your grain, and not the grain of Hektish, which teaches that if it's Meruach Hektish, as in the previous Alecha that we just said, that's going to be Potter. Now, but there's still two more times that says Degantcha. And Degantcha is saying your grain, and not the grain of a non-Jew. Sehevei, so that's going to make the grain of a non-Jew a mir achar miut. It's being excluded after already being excluded, because you're having two psukim, two verses that are excluding it. Now, ve'ein mir achar miut el rabbis. The halacha paradoxically actually is that when you're minusing a minus, when you're negating a negation, it's actually including. To tell you that I feel that even the digun, even the grain of oiv dekechavim, that even the grain of a non-Jew is actually going to be chayiv in the laws of Mises. That's the reason for their opinion of Rami Yehuda, why Meruach Akum is not going to exempt. Now, if one would ask, as Rashi points out, well, then why do you see fit to, from the Mir Achamir, to include the digun of the Akum? Maybe say that the Mir Achamir is actually including Hektish, and not excluding Hektish from the first time that says the Gantcha. So that says Rashi, no, it's more logical to say that we would include the grain of a non-Jew versus that of Hektish, because at least the grain of a non-Jew could be eaten without redemption, like a Jew's grain, in contrast, that of Hektish still has another obstacle in the way that it first has to be redeemed. So therefore, we're going to be including one of them, because the Mir Achamir is going to be mar by that of the non-Jew. No, so that's why they say Meruach Akum is not going to pater. Aval Hacha, but over here in the context of the laws of Chala, Trei Zimni Arisei Seichem Ksib, it says only two times the halacha of the obligation of the Chala from your dough. One terminology, according to Argir Soyuz, is saying that from your dough is kedei saschem, that according to the amount of chal is obligated, the amount of dough that you had in the desert in the, by the manna, which was nesarin of the eifa. The chadar isaisechem, and the other time that it says your dough, is saying one exclusionary terminology, and it's excluding the dough of a non-Jew and the dough of Hektish. So therefore, they actually would hold like the Mishnah we're quoting of Inchala, and that actually, according to everyone, the halacha would be that the Gilgal of an Akum actually would be Pater, even according to the opinions we mentioned in the previous daf, that they held that actually Meruach Akum regarding the laws of Maisers were not Pater, were not exempt. That's one side. Oidam, or maybe the note. Rabbi Yisi, Rabbi Shimon Katanila. Who is the Tana of this Mishnah Masechtas Chala? It's Rabbi Yisri and Rabbi Shimon de Kopatri, because as recorded in the previous daf, they hold that when, in regards to the laws of Meiser, for example, when the Meruach is happening, when you're smoothing out the pile of the grain, that in the possession of a non-Jew exempts. And so too, they would say the same thing regarding the laws of Gilgal of making a dough in regards to the laws of Chala. Of Ramei Rabbi Yehuda, but according to the other opinions, Garmi, Reishas, Mehasim. No, they would learn that Xeris Shava, where both of these halachas say the word Reishas. By Meiser, it says Reishas de Gantcha, the first of your grain. By the laws of Chalat, it says Reishas Arisesechem, the first of your doughs. To say, just like over there by the laws of Meiser, they say that Meruach Akum is not going to exempt, because as we mentioned before, because they include, from Mir Achar Mir is actually being Marbe, it says de Gantcha two times. So too, they would hold by Gilgal Akum would not exempt, because although here it doesn't say three times like it says over there, it only says two times, it would only be one Mir, but from the Xeris Shava, they would learn out that the Gilgal of Akum would not exempt, just like Meruach Akum would not exempt. So Amar Rava, who had asked the question, said, Yehi Rava, may be the will, the Achzei Bechelma, that I see the answer to my question in a dream. Now, Hada Amar Rava, subsequently Rava said that the resolution is as follows. Madama Meruach Ha'ivit Kechavim Paiter, the ones who say that the smoothing out in the possession of the grain in that of a non-Jew, it exempts it from Meiser. So too the whole Gilgal Ha'ivit Kechavim Paiter. So too the making of the dough, if it's in the possession of a non-Jew, also exempts. And Madama Meruach Ha'ivit Kechavim Einer Paiter, the possessions who hold that if it's in the possession of a non-Jew at the time of the smoothing, it's not going to exempt from Meiser. So too Gilgal Ha'ivit Kechavim Einer Paiter, they're going to say that the making of the dough is not going to exempt it from the laws of Chala, which is like we said, because of the Gzeri Shav of Rashis. That actually, this Mishnah is not universal. The halacha of saying that it's exempt is only according to those who hold that it's exempt by Meiser, but those who hold it's Chayiv is actually going to hold, so it's going to be the same Achlegis Tanoim regarding the, as we find by Meruach, for the laws of Meiser, so too for the laws of Gilgal and the possession of Akim regards to the laws of Chala, according to the way Rava is saying. However, on this position of Rava, Eisver of Papa the Rava, he asks for the following Bryce. The Bryce says, a non-Jew who designated a lamb as a redemption for the firstborn of the donkey, which is called the pidyon petach hamor, which was born to him when he was a non-Jew. Or let's say v'chala, he separates a portion of his dough, which he had made, as chala, as a crown of gifts, at a time when he was a non-Jew. So, so we notify him, even if he subsequently becomes a Jew, that it's exempt. And v'chalosei necheles lazarm, and his chala could be eaten by a non-kayin. U'petach hamor gezes v'ayvibay, and this firstborn of the donkey could be shorn, this lamb, and it could be worked with, although that generally cannot be done with the pidyon petach hamor, because it was not significant. He was a non-Jew at the time. Now, the inference, however, is ha-trumasei asura, but it sounds like his truma would be forbidden. Only we say regarding his chala and his petach hamor, but his truma would be forbidden. Why? Because obviously, the fact that it was being smoothed out in his possession does not exempt it from the laws of Trumas and Maises, as we had included before, because as Mir Achamir is actually being a Marba. So he's obviously like that position. Now, V'hohai Tano, D'amei Miruach Ha'evi Kachav Ma'in Ha'paita. So we have this opinion of this Tano, who's saying, okay, so the smoothing out, the conclusion of the procedure regarding Maiser, if it's in the possession of a non-Jew, is not going to exempt it. Regarding Trumas and Maises, it's going to be forbidden. Yet still this Tana says, v'gigalev gechavim paiter. But if it's kneaded into a dough when it's in possession of a non-Jew, it's going to be exempt. That's not like Rava, who said that they're qualified together. And that whoever holds that you're going to be obligated in Trumas and Maises, if it's in possession of a non-Jew, hold you're going to be chayiv v'granin chala. Yet here we see that this Tana does not agree to that. Ravina also asks a similar contradiction to Rav in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chalas Eivit Kechavim Ba'aretz. In other words, even if a non-Jew goes ahead and takes Chala from grain which grew in Eretz Yisrael, or let's say Utrumasai, his Shumah from the grain that was B'chutz La'aretz, that was from out of Eretz Yisrael, because out of Eretz Yisrael, even regarding a Jew, it's only rabbinic, the halachas of Trumas and Maises out of Eretz Yisrael. So regarding these two situations, says the Tana the Braisa, if a non-Jew went and made chala or made truma, meidin leseshu pater. So we notify him that he was exempt. Chalosei necheles lazarm, his chala could be eaten by non-kain. Utrumasa enim adamas, and his truma, if we get mixed in a pile of chulin, would not make it a forbidden mixture because it's not truma. Now, but one thing, says Ravina, ha-trumasei be'eretz, Asura, that's only because it's Tumah Truma that he had made from produce out of Eretz Yisrael, which is only rabbinic. But it sounds like the biblical Allah of Truma, which has an obligation, which is actually the position of those who hold that it's going to be Chayiv, is because Ein Kinya Akim cannot remove it from the obligation of the land of Israel being obligated in Trumas and Maises. Sounds like, but if it was Truma from Eretz Yisrael that he had separated, it actually would be forbidden. And Umedamas. And if it would fall into a produce of Chulun, would actually make it forbidden as a mixture. So ask Ravina, Vaha Haitana Dama Miruch Aibikachov Meina Paitu. So you have over here a position, this Tana saying, that the smoothing out, if it was in the possession of the obligation of Truma, at the time when in the possession of a non-Jew, it said it's not going to be exempt. Because from Truma from Eretz Yisrael, actually, the inference is that it's going to be Chayiv in Truma. And yet, still, this Tana says, Gilgul Aibikachov and Paitu, but it was made into a dough into possession of the non-Jew, it's going to be exempt from challah, as he says clearly, that the challah zeb kachavim, even from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, is potter and can be eaten by a non-kayin. So that's difficult, according to Rava, who he had said, that whoever says yichayv b'truma is going to say yichayv b'challah, and yet here we see that this town holds yichayv b'truma, but yet exempt from truma. So that the Gemara answers for Rava, it's not difficult. Truthfully is, that this that we had learned regarding that if challah is made in the possession of a non-Jew, it's going to be exempt, is the same tanoim that we said you're going to be exempt by the miruch, by the smoothing of the power of the laws of Maises. So then, what is it that we're learning from these two brises that we're inferring that they're saying that no, that actually chala is going to be exempt, but the truma is going to be forbidden? That says Rava, that's only midrabbanan. That's only rabbinically forbidden. Why? Gezer mishum bali kisim. It's a rabbinic decree because of those, the men of the wallets. Meaning, referring to the wealthy people who they buy produce from the donkey drivers who sell the produce. If you're going to permit, when he buys from a non-Jew, that he doesn't have to take Meiser, because the halacha is that meruach akum is pater, the smoothing out of the pile, if it was in possession of non-Jew at that time, is going to be exempt. So it's going to come out that when he's going to buy from the donkey driver that's a Jew, he's also going to go and exempt himself. He's going to either make a mistake or he's going to fool himself or whatever it is, but because of that confusion, we said no. Truth is that yes, you're going to be pater, just like we say bechali a pater. The reason why we say you're going to be chayiv on the trumas and maisus, even though really meruach akum is pater, that's rabbinic because we're concerned that if you're not going to take up trumas and maisus when you buy from the non-Jewish donkey drivers, you might do the same when you buy from the Jewish donkey drivers, which obviously then you are mechayiv in trumas and maisus. Or another interpretation, what does it mean mishum bali kisin? What does it mean the decrees because of the wealthy people? Because they have much land, they're very concerned about that they have to take over a tithe, one-tenth of their produce. So what they're going to do is, if we're going to maintain the biblical law that meruach akum is pater, they're going to go ahead and acquire their land to the non-Jews and let the non-Jews go ahead and finish up the production of the smoothing. And then they're going to exclude their obligation of the laws of Meiser. So to preclude that, not that the people should be excluding themselves and using subterfuge to get away from giving the biblical halacha of Meiser, which has obviously a biblical, divine reason. So he said, okay, rabbinically we're going to see even Meruach Akim is going to be Chaya, but that's only Dirabanan, and if it doesn't contradict Rava, really biblically, just like these positions hold at Chalas Pater, really so too the Trumas and Meisis would also be Pater, but only rabbinically is where they hold that's going to be Chaya. Now, however, as the Gemara continues on the Beis and asks, well, Ihachi, if that's the case, afilachalanami, then we should make a decree that even when the dough was needed in the possession of a non-Jew, we should also say, oh, mishum bali kisin, because of the wealthy people, they might go ahead and use subterfuge, and they might give the dough, they might give the flour to be needed in the possession of a non-Jew to exclude themselves from giving challah from the dough that they're making. Why don't you say then also challah should also be rabbinically obligated? You're saying in these braces that challah is pater, but trumas and maaser is chayiv, and you're saying why? Chayiv is rabbinically. Why don't you say chayiv rabbinically also on challah? So that says Gemara, no, there's no utility of making a rabbinic decree regarding the laws of challah. Because really, if someone wants to use subterfuge to get out of giving the Kohen a gift of challah, he can actually do it in a permitted way. Because Efshur, the afila pachas michameshes revom kamach va'oid, he could make batches of dough and bake less than 5/4 of a kav of flour and a little bit more, which if one does less than that, one's not obligated in halach of challah, because that's the minimum measurement of dough to be obligated in challah, as the Gemara says in Avon, the pigim lom beis. So therefore, there's no utility of making a rabbinic decree of saying, oh, he might give it to the non-Jew to go ahead and make it into dough. It doesn't have to. Just make small batches, and that already would exclude him from the obligation. So we don't gain anything by making the non-Jew's dough obligated in challah. But in contrast to the laws of Meiser, which the Gemara asks, why? Trumanami. The halacha of Truma also, efshar da'avala k'rabbayishi, there's also a legitimate legal way of doing it that a person, if he really wants to exclude himself from trumas and maisus, could do it, and therefore, why do we need to go ahead and make a rabbinic decree on that? Oh, he might give it to the non-Jew who's going to then smooth out the pile, because Amar Beishi, he says, Marim Adam Al Tavulasei, person could use subterfuge regarding his grain. How so? How could he get away with giving trumas and maisus? Umachnisa b'maitchala, he could bring it into his house when it's still in its chaff, which is the outer husk on the grain, which is like animal food, because humans don't eat it with that on top, but animals do, and animal food is exempt from the laws of Meiser. Or another interpretation, the reason why what you gain by bringing in its chaff is that the grain then never saw Pnei HaBayis. It has to be Yeroa Pnei HaBayis. Never saw it because it was concealed in the husk. But either way, the halacha Rebbe Yishai says is, Kedei Shtei Be'em Toicheles. Then you could bring it into your house, and your animals could eat from it. Upetur Min HaMeiser. It's going to be exempt from Meiser. Or inami, another way you could do it legitimately is da'ilo derech gagas v'derech kafifas. You could bring it into the house through the roof or through the enclosed backyards that one has, because the halacha is that it only is considered tevel, which is forbidden untithed produce, to be obligated a meiser only if one brings it in through the gateway of the entryway of the house, like it says in the pasuk, "Ba'achlu b'sharecha b'saveh." You should eat it in your gateways and be satiated, as the pasuk says in the laws of Meiser, as the Gemara explains above Metziv Pechasim and Aleph. And if you don't bring it in through the front door, you bring it through the back door, you're actually not obligated. So then, why do we make this halacha of gezer d'rabbanan and truma if that also could be done legitimately, just like you said, we didn't make that gezer by challah for that reason? Says the Gemara, no, but it's still different. Hasam. Over there in the options that you're saying regarding Truma, that he could bring it in with its chaff, or he could bring it through the roofs, Befahasi, that's public. everyone sees, what are you doing? Why bring your grain in? Everyone brings in just the grain themselves. Why are you bringing the chaff? You bring all the stalks? Why are you bringing it through the roof? It's public. So zila b'milsi. So there's the social factor that it's embarrassing. People are going to say, oh, look at him. He's trying to get away from giving his meiser. So therefore, he's not going to do it that way. He'd rather do it in a secretive way where he's going to do it. He'll have his non-Jews go ahead and do the smoothing process. He'll give it to them. He'll acquire it to them. He'll do some document when no one's looking. So that's why we make the decree over there, because that's really the only option that really is going to do. So to preclude his excluding himself from Trumas and Meisters, we said, no, you're not going to help by Meruah Chakam. It's going to be Chayv rabbinically anyway. In contrast, Hach over here by Challah, to bake less than 5/4 of a kav, that's Betzina. That's in the privacy of one's own home. So that's not embarrassing. And therefore, the person's not going to have to come on to do it, to have the non-Jew own it at the time when it's being kneaded into a dough. And therefore, there's no utility in making that Gezer Drabbanan. And therefore, we only made it by Trumas and Maises, and we didn't make it by the Gilgal of the dough. But it's not a refutation of Rava. We could still say that really, biblically, whoever says Yechai by Meruach holds Yechai by Gilgal in regards to the possession of a non-Jew. And those who hold Pater, you'll be Pater. And here that we found Bryce that said Yepater by Chala, Chai by Trumas and Maises is only rabbinically, as we had explained, there's a rabbinic reason why to say that Meruach Hakam is still going to be Chai. And the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the halachas of the procession of the Minchas Ha'omer. So they would go ahead and they reap it and they would grind it down and they would sift it. And now they have this isarin, this refined tenth of an eifah of flour of barley. So barley isarin. So they would come to this isarin of the eifah of the flour. Nasan, the girsa we have from Rashi is not alav, to take out the word on it, because actually it would first put into the vessel, shamnai ulavay nasai. It's oil and it's frankincense. And this was actually, according to this interpretation, before the flour was put in. Then, yotzak, meaning because the way menachas were normally made, was first they would put oil in the vessel, then they would put in the flour, and then they would go out actually and pour in more oil. So now, again, they're pouring in oil again. Ubal, and then as the Gemara explains later on, the Ayin Dalam and Beis, then they would mix it all together. Then, hainif, they would do the procedure of tenufa, of the waving of the barley offering. The Hegish, and then they would do Hagashu, which is to bring it to the corner of the altar, as the Gemara said on the Samach Alf and Alf, that the Minchas Ha'omer requires Tenufa and Hagasha. Then Kamatz, then the Kohen would do take a fistful of that barley offering, Victor, and sacrifice that on the Mizbeach. Vashar Nechalakan, the rest of that Asir Sa'ifa was eaten by the Kahanim. Now, continues, the Halach and the Mishnah related to this is Mishikar of Ha'omer, once they would sacrifice the Ha'omer, so immediately, when they would yitzin, they would go out, umaitzin shuk Yerushalayim, they would find the marketplace of Yerushalayim, shumole kemach kali, which was full with toasted grain, toasted flour from the new grain. And that was shalei b'tzan chacham, that was not according to the will of the sages, because they were concerned, they made a decree, that maybe people are going to eat it and when they were going ahead and reaping the grain, because one could just bite off a kernel when he's in the middle of reaping, and he might be eating from the new grain before the omer is brought, because it cannot be eaten from the new grain before the omer is sacrificed. Now, here where it's already toasted flour, obviously it was reaped before the Oibim was brought, and therefore this wasn't really what the sages would have liked. That's the Remeir. Behudah, he says, no, Bertzen Chachamah Yosim, this was even done with the consent and the willingness of the sages, because they don't make a decree, they're not concerned that maybe someone's going to eat from it beforehand, and therefore right when the Oibim is brought, it's already been reaped and toasted, and it's all ready for people to go ahead and have from the new grain, and they were okay with that. Now, this halacha, the Gemara asks, what? Rabbi Huda did not make a decree, is not concerned that people might eat, like he says, oh, it's B'tzayin Chacham HaYaisen. But V'raminu, this seems to be contradicted from a Mishnah Masechet B'Sachem. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Huda, I mean, he said, Baitkin, we inspect for Chametz before Pesach, Oraba Asr, on the evening of the 14th of Nisan, which is the evening before the first night of Pesach, Ubaba Asr Shachras, and also on the 14th of Nisan in the morning. Ubashas Abir, and also at the time when one has to get rid of the chametz, which is in the sixth hour of the day. But from that point on, according to Behuda, one does not go ahead and inspect for the chametz, even if he hadn't checked already in its appropriate time, because we're concerned, we make a decree, maybe he's going to find it and then eat it when he finds it on Pesach, and then violate the halach of eating chametz on Pesach, so rather don't look for it. That's the opinion of Behuda. The sages say, no, lay badak v'chulu, if you didn't check. So the Rabban disagreed with Rabbi Huda, and they say, if you didn't check in its appropriate time, meaning at the time when you have to burn it, which is the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, then you could check even what they call the Achar Moed, meaning after that time, meaning even in Pesach itself. And they don't make a decree. They're not concerned that someone might come to eat from it. But one thing you see is Rabbi Huda is concerned that when someone's involved in something, he might eat it. And that's why you don't check for the chametz on Pesach. So then why does he hold that you could go ahead and reap the grain? And why is he not concerned that when you're involved in it, you might come to eat it? So Amar Rabbi says, no, Shani Chadosh, the halacha of our Mishnah is different than that Mishnah because the new grain is different as we continue to have some Chesem and Aleph. Mitech Shaloi Hitar Taloi, since it was not permitted for those involved in that whole reaping procedure to go ahead and reap it with a sickle as is normally done, El Al De Kituf. It had to have been plucked by hand, not with a sickle. As we find the word Kituf, V'katafta Malilis B'yadecha, means to be done by hand. So the reason for that is because actually reaping of the grain before the Yomer, besides eating the new grain, reaping, cutting the grain, is also forbidden. As the Mishnah teaches that it's forbidden to do ketzira before the ketzira of the Yomer. So since they have to do it in this interesting way, so Zachu is going to remember, oh, it's because it's the new grain, and therefore he's not going to come to eat it. But yeah, by chametz, he might not remember, he might come to eat it, but here Rabbi Huda was not concerned. However, Amalei Abaya, but Abaya asked in this interpretation of Rabbi, says, Tenach ketzira. That only helps for the reaping part. But there's many stages till you had that toasted flour in the market already. Techina v'harkada ma'ikal meima. But what are you going to say when they were grinding? What are you going to say when they were sifting? What did they do different then that they should remember that it's new grain, that they're not going to come to eat from it, which Rabbi Huda generally is concerned for? Says the Gemara, no, like kasha, that's not difficult. Techina b'rechai deyada. They did these procedures also differently. When they were grinding, they would do it with a handmill, which not by a water mill as usually. And harkada gabinah for the sifting they did with the back of the sieve, so they would recall. And therefore, Rabbi Huda wasn't concerned the halacha of our Mishnah. But the Gemara less. But based ashlach on an irrigated field, the sharia katsira, where actually reaping, the normal reaping is permitted. There's not like in the Mishnah later on, the Ayin Alf and Alf says, Kaitzin beis ashlach and sheba makam. They were able to reap the irrigated field's grain in the valleys, even before katsira sa'ima. Why? Since those are dry fields, if one would wait till they ripen, it's going to be a big loss. Or another interpretation is actually because those grains are inferior. And the Omer cannot be brought from those grains, as the Gemara says later on, only from the places where you would bring the grain for the Omer is where you cannot reap before the Omer. But if you wouldn't bring from there, you're allowed to reap. Which Rashi says that's a primary interpretation, as will be explained later on in the parak. So you're allowed to reap it. Avaloi Goichin, but still, you're not allowed to make it into a pile until after the Omer is brought. But one thing is, Michael and Maim, in that situation where you're allowed to do regular reaping in those beis hashlach, in those irrigated fields, according to the interpretation, what was answered why here it's different for Rabbi Huda is because you're going to remember, but you're not going to remember with it because there you're doing reaping in the regular way. So why over there does Rabbi Huda hold? You're allowed to have this toasted grain. You might come to eat it when you're doing the regular reaping. So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye says, not like Rabbah. He says, the difference is between our Mishnah and Mishnah Mesecht B'sachim is that Chodesh Bodol Mineh. The new grain, a person will stay away from it because he knows he didn't have new grain the whole year since last year. So therefore, Rabbi is not concerned that they could be involved even doing it in the regular way of reaping and grinding and sifting. But chametz le'bodel mineh. But chametz, he says, no, you can't search for chametz on Pesach because you might come to eat it because the whole year, 2 days ago, you were eating chametz. And therefore, you might come to eat it. And that's why over there, Rabbi Huda was concerned. So Amar Rava says, okay, Rabbi Huda, kashya. So what, we have a difficulty only in the opinions of Rabbi Huda, which you just answered, but Rabbanan, like kashya, but we don't have a contradicted opinion of the Rabbanan? What do you mean? In our Mishnah, the Rabbanan say that, oh, Shaloi B'tzen Chacham HaYaisen, meaning Remeyu, who disagrees, says that, oh, this was not done according to the will of the Chacham, because we're concerned that they might eat from it. But over there, the disputants of Rabbi Huda, who also Remeyu, the Chachamim, there they say, no, you could inspect it even on Pesach. Why? The contradiction of their opinion too. You should be concerned that you might come to eat it. So Elamah Rava, rather Rava continues and he says, okay, Rabbi Huda read like Kasha Kedushaninan. The opinion of Rabbi Huda is not difficult like we had answered. But Rabbanah Rabban like Kasha, he says, no, so it's not difficult the contradiction of the opinion of the Rabbanah. Why? Because who atzma mechazor lab lasarfa, he himself, on Pesach, why is he looking for the chametz? It's to burn this, to get rid of it. Mechal achamine, you think he's going to eat from it? You're right, the chacham generally are concerned, like Ramey and our Mishnah, that you're not allowed to go ahead and do the reaping of all this grain and getting ready for the 16th of Nisan, because you might come to eat from it. But here on Pesach, they disagreed with Yehuda, because why are we looking for it? To burn it. If that's the reason why we're looking for it, for sure a person is not going to come to eat from it. Now, Rav Ashi, I mean, he says a different interpretation where Rabbi Huda like Kasha, to answer the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Pesachim. Says, because in our Mishnah, Kemach Koli Tanan, we learn that, what are we talking about that they have in the marketplace of Yerushalayim? We're talking about that they had the toasted flour. That's not edible. Well, just like our flour. Because it's talking about flour that came from grain that was dried up in the oven. So that's why we're not concerned that you're going to eat from it. But generally, like chametz, yeah, of course, you would be concerned that you're going to come to eat from it. But says the Gemara, v'hadar avashi berusahi. But this interpretation of Ashi is on the outside, because it's not an appropriate answer. Because teinach mikali ve'elach, that's only from the stage of when it's already toasted flour. But ad koli ma'ekalameva, but before it was toasted, what are you going to say? For example, when they were reaping, where it's still edible, then at that time you should still have the concern if you're showing from Rebbe Yehuda and Pesachim that you might come to eat it. And v'chitem, if you're going to say, no, hachaname dekitu pukadirab, you're going to say, no, but by reaping is also not a problem because you're doing a difference because you're doing it by hand, like Rabbi had said. But based on shlach and deshari katsir, Michael Memba. But then by an irrigated field, which you're allowed to do the regular reaping, what are you going to say over there, which was like Abaye's question? So Elohad Rav Ashi Barusi, rather this opinion of Rav Ashi is on the outside. Rather you would have to say again, like Abayat said, that the reason is because the new grain he stays away from, but chametz he doesn't stay away from, and that's the resolution of the opinion of Rabbi Huda.